The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 from the Gau Studios in Houston. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the show. Daniel, you've been patient. We just want to take your phone call real quick here. What's on your mind, Daniel?
I think Williams is doing a great job in the backfield. He's shorted up, makes some good runs. It was good to see Willis in goal. I think he made a great goal. And the other real quick point is I think MLS is doing a great job on Sundays. I mean, I get to watch I actually watch some other teams, NYFC versus New York Red Bulls, because of the different stars that they're bringing in. And then I think that the sport keeps on growing. And I think you're a great ambassador for the sport.
You're a kind man. And, I think all your points are right on. I mean, as much as anybody, the infrastructure, the television packages now, the ability to see games spread out, as Daniel said, over a couple of days, which we're seeing in all the leagues around the world. You know, there used to be a time in Major League Soccer where all the games were on Saturday night at the same time. So you didn't get to see these other teams. Well, they're forced to now. Plus, the TV competition has been great here in America with Fox, ESPN, NBC. It's been excellent. Competition breeds success. There's no doubt about it. And Daniel's absolutely right. You can start looking at these other teams because there's tremendous storylines in a lot of places. And one of those is Gio Dos Santos, who just signed in L.A. and has already scored his first ever goal, kind of trumping Steven Gerrard. All of a sudden, Gerrard's not being as talked about as much because Dos Santos is. So, you know what? Good news is markets all over the league have the opportunity to see these star players come through. And as long as the league remains dependent on the American player to provide the spine and continues to seek out younger talent to mix with these star names, it's a good recipe. It's a good mix. All right, let's get to our roundtable tonight. To my left, he is the noted author Tom Clary. He wrote the book The Men Who Were the Busby Babes. By the way, I've got a couple of copies of Tom's book here tonight. We're going to give those away going to break. This man is a historian. If you want to talk I don't even like to talk Manchester United in his company because I just don't think I'm worthy. Kind of like Wayne's World. Tom, how are you?
I'm very good, Glenn. Thank you for inviting me again.
Good to have you here. And Andre is my good pal from a long time, but I'm not going to reveal. Well, I just did reveal your first name. DJ Sun is in the house tonight. Give it up for DJ Sun.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me, man.
Glad to have you here. And from Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture, who's helping get us on the air, he's my good friend Jan Christensen. Jan, how are you?
Oh, great, man. It's great to be here, Glenn. Great to be here. Great the Premier League has started, and I look forward to talk about this.
All right, so we got an Englishman in here. We got a Dane. We got a man from Suriname with Dutch roots. I mean, we got a mix in here. It's just like Houston. It's like the Dynamo. This is a diverse roundtable tonight. So let me just start it off here, and I know Tom's going to love this. Jose Mourinho, because everybody's fired up about all of this. The doctor, this woman who has a very good reputation as being a great doctor, we always see her on the bench for Chelsea. 2-2 with Swansea. No comments really for Swansea's play. No appreciating what Swansea did, but it's all about the doctor now being relieved of her duties.
Typical Jose Mourinho. You know, diverts all the attention, but for me, he was totally out of order. You know, I think it was sexist. Yeah, it's typical Jose Mourinho. He
he deflects all the attention. And to me, he was bang out of order with the comments aimed at the doctor. I mean, he's got to remember the work that she's done in the 4 years that she's been there. And she's been largely responsible for keeping players on the field. And especially last year when his squad wasn't that strong last year, you know, and the injury side of it. I mean, she did a remarkable job. But it's too easy to blame people, and it seems to me that whenever he loses, there's no credit to the opposing team. He won't talk about, you know, the decisions that go against him. For me, you know, I mean, he's just a poor loser, and that result last Sunday was something he didn't really expect.
Andre, is it just the blame game? Is it Mourinho just deflecting the fact that he got only a draw in the opener of the Premier League season?
You know, I think he's a bit of a genius, but an evil genius, like Tom, you know, intimates. It's always that. It's always the controversy. I think we talked about that last time when you had me on. He's always drawing controversy to deflect. And I think I'm echoing what you're saying. And he's a master at it, and that's why I say I think he's an evil genius that way.
The fact is, Jan, he wins.
He wins, and he's a brilliant manager, I'm sure. But he has this big ego, and he hates losing, and he hates when it goes against him, and you know that winners do that often. But his ego is just too big, And it's kind of sad to see, but you know he gets a lot of press on that and a lot of attention. So that's what he likes.
I think he's a little frustrated in some ways because you know Chelsea have had a poor pre-season. They've not done well pre-season at all, and I think this has just been a little bit of a shock to his system. And I mean, there's a huge game next Sunday, huge game at the Etihad when they play Manchester City. And if they don't come out of that too well, the sparks will start flying, I think.
It's Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. In studio, DJ Sun, Jan Christensen of Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture. We have Tom Clare, the author of The Men Who Were the Busby Babes. We're going to be giving a pair of these books away. Great reads. Tom's a true authority on Manchester United, having grown up in the shadows of Old Trafford way, way back, and has seen this club go from one end of the spectrum to the other. Biggest surprise, Jan, in the Premier League this opening weekend for you?
Well, for me, it must be West Ham. And a big disappointment was Arsenal, as one of the commentators said, that it's time for the Arsenal players to stop looking at their selfies and their six-packs and start really acting like men. And you know, if you compare the looks and everything, they all look like models, but they don't fight like real soccer players should. And I think Arsene Wenger has to take a blame for it. Two things, I think, that all the travel they did before the – and all the games they played in the preseason, they might have been a little worn out.
You're being an Arsenal apologist here, Jan.
Wenger, he didn't really take responsibility either. He said that they were bad, you know, but he didn't take responsibility. He blamed it all on the players, but some of the tactics were not right.
All right, so let's listen to Arsene Wenger and listen to how down this man sounds as a manager.
No, that should be very quick. But of course, we have to talk about that. I'm surprised. Sometimes you think things are you have over a problem, but it can quickly come back, and so we have to work on that again. Because usually, in the second part of the season, we defended very well on that.
That was Peter Cech talking. Arsene Wenger, the Arsenal manager, talking about Peter Cech. So he goes from Community Shield hero beating his old team Chelsea to being the liability that Jose Mourinho wanted to move on for Courtois.
Yeah, that was very disappointing to see Petr Cech, whiff on this first serious game for Arsenal, especially when they paid so much money for him, you know. And my eyes were on Newcastle Southampton because of the Dutch contingency.
Yeah,
and I think there's going to be a breakout star in the Premier League. If not this year, really soon, Wijnaldum. Jorginho Wijnaldum scored for Newcastle. He's going to be their creative midfielder. And that's what I was paying attention to. Of course, Koeman, coaching Southampton.
Erwin, right?
Well, Irvin was because Ronald injured his Achilles and had emergency surgery. Yeah. But you know, Irvin was a coach in his own right in the Dutch league.
Oh, he's kind of resume.
Yeah. So he did all right. But I'd like to see what Newcastle's going to do with the Dutch contingency. Of course, that's my interest. And so watching what this kid is going to do, what he did at PSV Eindhoven last year was really take him over the hump. You know, they tried to win the championship a couple of years, came up short, and as soon as they made him captain, I mean, that's symbolic, of course, but he really focused and concentrated on getting there's a lot of talk about Depay, of course, Memphis, and the contribution that he made, but I really think Wijnaldum was a key component of the PSV Eindhoven championship, and he's going to do really well in the Premier League.
DJ Sun talking about Newcastle, and also he follows the Dutch Eredivisie very well. Tom, I want to bring you in, and I want to talk to you a little bit about Manchester United, mm-hmm. Liverpool, yeah. Arsenal. Now, all the pundits have picked Chelsea. It's the easy, safe pick. Are you buying it? Do you think it's going to be a contentious title run, or is Chelsea running away again?
I don't think Chelsea will run away with it this year, but I think it'll be far, far more competitive. First game of the season, you can't really go by that. It's when these teams start to hit consistency. And I still think the money talks, and the teams with the money will be the teams that compete for the title. I'm not so sure United are good enough at the moment, because I don't think Louis van Gaal knows what his best team is. He's still got players bedding in. I mean, there's talk about Pedro coming. It's a big, big thing to go from the Spanish league to play for Manchester United. I know he's with a huge club in Barcelona, but people don't realise just how big Manchester United are. It's a huge club, and the effect it has on people, it's not only the football, it's the family side, living in Manchester. It's a huge thing, so I'm optimistic, but I don't think at this moment in time that we're just, you know, not quite good enough to win the title.
Now, there's talk that Nicolas Gaitán may be signed, the Argentine. What do you think of that? They're replacing one Argentine with another. Now, Angel Di Maria, part of the problem was he wasn't able to settle, I might say, culturally. His wife wasn't happy there. This is all a part of a player joining a club and thriving and being successful. Here in Houston, Raul Rodriguez, who's going to be on my show tomorrow, played in La Liga with Espanyol, who's a Dynamo defender. We have seen him grow, and it's very interesting after doing the interview with him today how he has really grown in to enjoying the city of Houston and change. Yeah. But not everybody likes change.
Exactly.
So that's a big piece of it. So what do you think about a potential of Nicolas Gaitán?
Well, I think it'd be a really, really good signing. And it seems to me is that we're looking to sign the Argentine team, you know, the team that beat Holland last year. We're sort of linked with every player that's going. If we'd have listened to the media, we'd have signed 33 players during the summer, you know. We've got a decent squad. All I think at the moment is that we're short of a striker to support Rooney. And, you know, I think, that central defensive position, that's paramount. And, you know, if we can get the right player in the right position, well, we can move forward with it.
Jan, do you think there's a need for the transfer window to be changed? See, I don't like calling these games and seeing these games now with all this speculation around players. Why not condense and shrink the transfer window, accelerate the deal-making, and let's have players settled so that everybody benefits, the fan, the player? Because I get tired of the speculation all the time. Because, as Tom says, every guy's linked somewhere.
Yeah, and having it to play out August 1st, I think, would be a much, much better and make much quicker deals and get it done. Which also for the players' sake, you know, the players like Pedro now, he's playing today for Barcelona and he might next week be playing for Manchester United, you know. And I don't think it's a very good scenario for a player to go in that uncertainty for so long.
Yeah, and I think it affects the fans too, doesn't it, Andre?
Well, yeah, and I think the other thing too is the Champions League. You know, I mean, when Manu plays next, is he going to be able to play De Gea? The goalie, because you know that's going to disqualify him from playing for Real if he plays in the Champions League. So why not bring it back a little bit? I don't really get it. All the leagues have started. I get it in one sense. You get to see your players, and maybe you change your mind on someone. But you know, I think the fair approach would be to do it August
1st. But at that point, your homework's got to be done. You got to know who you want and who you don't want. Sure. At that point. And that's why I say accelerate the deal making. Tom, I know when I go into this subject with you, I can see it sometimes you wear it on your sleeve because of a lot of things, and I'm sure maybe the guys here all tonight agree, but help me right now, because sometimes the game gets so dominated by everything else that I get scared that I'm getting a little turned off sometimes.
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, the problem with it now is that the game has changed completely. There is so much pressure in it now. You look at the clubs in the Premier League, 60% are owned by foreign owners. They're investing, not for football, they're investing for profit. It all brings pressure. A manager these days, he doesn't get time to build teams. You know, a team isn't built overnight. You need at least two or three seasons before you get the finished product. Today, they don't get that time, so they're under enormous pressure. They sign players who don't really fit. You know, there's tremendous movement there. And the game, you know, it seems to me that there's a lot of fun and enjoyment gone out of the game as what they used to be.
Yeah, and to further that a little bit, I also think sometimes it's about accumulating talent and hoping it gels as opposed to actually managing and coaching. And so it's, all right, well, we're going to buy all these people and spend $300 million and throw them out there and hope it happens, Jan.
Yeah, and you see a team like Manchester City. I mean, you see their bench yesterday, and you see who they want to buy. Now they want to bring in Kevin De Bruyne. They want to bring in Pedro. They want to, you know, they are all what. Sometimes I think they buy just so the others don't get them.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I don't think there's any question.
And that's a sad thing, you know. I mean that this happens. And a guy like Kevin De Bruyne, who really loves being at Wolfsburg, and he don't really want to go to Man City. But, you know, money is going to force him. The Wolfsburg saying, you got to look at this kind of money, you know, and it's going to force him to go there. And who knows what will happen to him. Like with Di Maria, he didn't really want to go to Manchester United. He wanted to go to PSG. And he flopped, you know.
You know, from a Dutch perspective, of course, it's they buy these young kids at 17, 16, 17, pull them away from Feyenoord, pull them away from Ajax. They've just done it again this year. And what happens to these kids? Because they become disposable if they don't make it immediately. And that's a true shame, because the Dutch league prides itself on being able to bring the kid up and give him the experience. So that's the shame of this financial fair play, which is pulled back now a little bit. You know, you had it on its way, and they're making concessions now. So all these teams are spending enormous amount of money just to put them in the stall, put the players in the stall and make them at some point disposable.
Yeah, the issue to me is that also is as you guys were saying, Tom was saying, and Jan was saying, this talent is stockpiled, and then what happens is the kid is then going to be on this odyssey of a litany of loans.
Yep.
And, you know, by 23 has had five different loans. Now I'm saying, is that good for player development? Number two, you've bought them and you've decided to hand them over to others to develop them for you. Yep. It just doesn't all make sense. And Tom, I know you and I talked a little bit about the old days. Now, when I went over and trained with Sheffield United and I was there 6 weeks or so, there was a full-blown reserve team that veterans were playing in. Hardcore veterans were mixing with young guys. Yeah. And this is how you learned the game over there, and that's really kind of fallen by the wayside right now.
It's gone. Those days will never be seen again. I mean, the old Central League, which it took in the clubs from the Midlands and the northeast and northwest of Britain, it was a very, very competitive league. I mean, at Central League level, which is the second team, you got a lot of the old pros who were, you know, coming back from injury, or they were in the twilight of their careers, and you learnt from those pros. Incidentally, I made my Central League debut against Sheffield United, and they, at that time, they had a guy called Jimmy Hagan playing. You know, wonderful. You got a lot of ex-international players, and it was tough, and you learned. And if you didn't look after yourself, you didn't survive. Today, you've got these young kids now who can only play against, you know, under-21s, under-19s. Yeah, it's a little bit competitive, but it's nowhere near the level that the old Central League was.
All right, let me take a break here. This is fascinating stuff. I appreciate everybody being in studio here. Now, before we go to break right now, Tom Clarence's book, The Men Who Were the Busby Babes, right now, 10th caller at 713-780-3776. You get it. 10th caller, The Men Who Were the Busby Babes. This is a fascinating book. It talks all about Sir Matt Busby and that famous team that included your favorite player, who was Duncan Edwards.
Correct.
Duncan Edwards. So 10th caller right now, Tom Clarence's book, The Men Who Were the Busby Babes. This is signed and autographed. Andre, DJ Sun, catch him at the flat on Fridays. Saturday, October 30th, he's got Sun's Resolution at the Asian Society Center. It's an audiovisual show documenting his ancestral search in China. I mean, you got an amazing background. Chinese, then down to Suriname and the Caribbean, Dutch.
That's the Caribbean flavor, you know. I mean, we came from all over the world. We, meaning the Caribbean people.
Yes. We will talk about that when you come back. And, of course, Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture again. What's going on over there? I know you had the no-tax sale.
Oh, yeah, we had a wonderful no-tax sale, and we got a lot of new beautiful leather arrivals and dining sets that just came in. So stop by the store and catch a game while you're there, because we have soccer on all the time there.
Yeah, that's true. That's one of Yan's tricks. He gets you in there to watch soccer,
yeah,
and you should. It is some of the best contemporary furniture, and we do appreciate everybody being in here. DJ Sun, Yan Christensen, Tom Clare. We'll take a break here. We got a lot more to come. Reminder, when you watch the Premier League, the place to do it is at the Gorgeous Gale in West University and Bar Munich in Midtown.
ESPN 97.5.
All right, thanks to all our great sponsors, Liberty Kitchen, 7-Up Bud Light, Bar Munich, Daspit Law Firm, the Gorgeous Gale, and, of course, Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture. My good friend Yan Christensen is also doubling as the assistant coach for the University of St. Thomas women's soccer team. Good work, Yan. Quickly here for the Daspit Law Firm. They're working for you 24-7. They're Houston personal injury attorneys. They handle personal injury cases from plant and refinery accidents, medical injuries, industrial accidents, 18-wheeler accidents, right down to boat and car accidents. DaspitLaw.com. That's DaspitLaw.com, 713-364-0915. You can rest assured in times of stress. Depending on the circumstances of your accident, you've got a hard-hitting personal injury attorney on your side. It's the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com, 888-273-1045 in English and Spanish. And I've always said this over the years. Please take note of who's sponsoring the show, because they're supporters of the game of soccer. They love the game you love. So if you need contemporary furniture, get it from the best. Get it from Danish Inspirations. If you need insurance and a law firm working for you, it's the Daspit Law Firm. You get it? It's a pretty simple formula. Let's support those that are supporting the game of soccer. Liberty Kitchen, Amigo Energy, 7-Up, Bud Light. Support them because it's been a long run on the radio, I can tell you that, and it hasn't always been easy, but we have risen with the rising tides with the rest of the boats now. And that's why I got Tom Clarence here, I got Yan Christensen, and I got DJ Sun in here. All right, so the next topic is this. Gentlemen, the number one team in the world, Argentina, will come to Houston, Texas on September 4th to play Bolivia, believe it or not, in BBVA Compass Stadium. So I likened this in the first hour to a rock band like the Rolling Stones or Led Zeppelin going from a stadium to a pub, because now you have the intimacy of only 22,000 seats to see the likes of Di Maria, Messi, Aguero, Mascherano, on and on we go. What does this mean to soccer in Houston, Tom?
It's huge. It's absolutely huge, you know, but, you know, it will be absolutely marvelous to see every seat in BBVA Compass Stadium filled. And the atmosphere will be electric in there. But you're seeing the world's top-class players, and they come into Houston. So, you know, the attraction is there. You know, it will bring the fans out. And it's just a huge, huge game for the city of Houston.
It's a beautiful tie-in also to the fact that you've got a professional soccer team here, the Houston Dynamo. All this other content that surrounds Major League Soccer and the Dynamo here is monstrous. Yan, what is the number one team in the world, Argentina, coming to Houston mean to you at BBVA Compass Stadium? I mean, this is fascinating.
Oh, it is fascinating. You know, I only get so many chances to see a team like Argentina, and to have them in my own backyard here is to see Messi, just Messi, you know, who's my favorite player in the world, just up close, you know, it's going to be a great experience, and I'm signed up for 4 tickets already.
Yeah, well, that doesn't surprise me. Andre, what about you? I mean, here's something special.
Yeah, and it's going to usher in a whole new generation of fans. You know, if you take the kids, let's focus on that. You know, they get a chance to see Messi and really get inspired by what he can do. And it's so intimate. Tom, you mentioned that. That's a very intimate stadium. You can see very, very clearly from every angle. And so, yeah, it's huge. I think everyone's already used the adjectives to describe that. But I'd like to focus on you know, the generation, this next generation of American kids that could watch that and be inspired by it.
Absolutely. And listen, and the other beautiful thing is you have that on a daily basis here with the Dynamo. And the Dynamo are making real strides now.
Yes.
Under the new manager, Owen Coyle, the team has gotten younger. The depth of the team has improved. They've made some good signings. They had an exciting win over San Jose. So as much as I talk about the international content, we have to always draw it back to the fact that we got a professional team here and that, you know, if the professional team is doing their job, then we should be out there supporting them. And they're turning the corner now. Let me get back to those of you who are, because I'm getting a lot of stuff on social media right now about tickets for Argentina. I do not have any information on that. I don't think any of that's been revealed. What I have heard, and this is what I've heard for the moment, the tickets will go on sale Saturday. But I do like the fact that people are ponying up right now because these are going to fly. They're not going to be around long. You're not going to be able to, 3 days before the game, decide you want to go buy a ticket. It's not going to happen because this is a special, special moment.
Let's hope that the prices are reasonable.
I heard $45 is the cheapest ticket. And you know what?
That's a steal.
That's a steal for that stadium. I don't think there's any question. So we'll find out more. If I get anything earlier, I'll put it out on Twitter, Glenn Davis Soccer. We'll put it out over on Facebook, Soccer Matters. All right, let's move on. Well, you brought up Leicester City. Talk a little bit about the Leicester City win, because that was a pretty dramatic one. And what's happening to Sunderland in one of the great soccer-playing parts of England?
Well, it was interesting because of the return to the Premier League of Claudio Ranieri. And, you know, known as the Tinker Man, he's known for messing about and tinkering with teams. But I watched the game and I was very, very impressed. And Leicester are a very good team when they're at home. And they're very difficult to beat, but Sunderland are woeful. Their defensive side of the game, you know, it was just shocking, really. And to me, they're one of my favourites for going down this year.
And one of the other things I think that's bugging Sunderland, or is a real problem for Sunderland, is if they've got a whole bunch of players signed that are locked into these deals, and it's tough for them to go out and buy players. Jan, the Danish Superliga. Where does it rank in the world? Why is it that so many players want to go there from the United States?
Well, I think they have a good exposure to the surrounding countries, England and Germany and Holland, and I believe that they can go there. It's a safe environment. You know, it's recommended highly by American players to be a nice environment, working environment, and. The pay is okay. I think the pay probably aligns with the MLS in some ways. Not of course the superstars, but the average player pay, and they get a 2 or 3 year special tax free thing. That so for 3 years I think it is they don't have to pay tax, and they get exposed to the leagues very close by. So that's what it is.
I always think a lot of it, too, for the American player is just the cultural change. To go to a part of the world where the sport is the number one priority, it's not fighting the mainstream with American football, basketball, baseball, lifestyle, et cetera, et cetera. Your thoughts, Andre?
Yeah, I mean, amazing atmospheres. You know, I speak on the Dutch side of things, of course. You know, when you have even Danish players going, of course, to Ajax and developing there, the attraction, you had Jose Altidore, of course, at Alkmaar. You had Johansson. Just recently was moved to Germany, by the way, and he was playing in the Dutch league as well. They spend a lot of time developing, and you know, making sure that, you know what, we're going to prepare you for the next step. There might be money out there, and Christian Eriksen had offers before, in previous years. But the Ajax system really taught him well and taught him to wait for the right time.
Yeah, that's a good point, because he had offers from Barcelona and for Liverpool, and but he said he don't want to sit on the bench. He want to develop more with Ajax. He feels comfortable there, and look what he is now.
How did Ajax keep him there?
With the system, I believe.
They paid him well.
Yeah, I mean, he earned well. He had an amazing role, playing as a number 10 there, and just the lure of Ajax, or the lore as well of Ajax. I mean, Ajax's
name is still huge,
legendary name, and I think those and he's a smart kid, you could see that, you know, he wasn't going to be lured away from Ajax by just the big dollars. He needed to make sure that he was not going to sit on the bench, and he could develop.
Yeah, he had some good advisors too. But a player would like
nice to. Nice for a change.
Yeah.
Instead of a greedy agent. That's
since
definitely nice.
Since we have Tom from Manchester United here, you know, I'd like to talk a little bit about Matteo Darmian, because he was absolutely the superstar of the weekend, in my judgment, for Manchester
United.
He
was the player of the match, but what does it tell you when a right back is the player of the match?
I know. But just give credit to him, Glenn, you know.
I saw him in preseason. I liked him.
But the interesting thing about it, you know, he comes from Milan's youth system. They took him in when he was 10 years old. And they put him at a midfielder, and then they moved him back as a central defender, but he failed to grow. So they put him at a left back instead, you know. And his mentors was Seedorf, Alessandro Nesta, and Paolo Maldini. That was his three mentors.
That's a good trio.
So that's a good trio, right? And it's just, you know, he was a man of the match between Italy and England in the World Cup in 2014, and nobody knew who he was.
The thing with me with him is he can defend. And for me, when they're playing in that back four, they've got to be able to defend first and foremost. And as full-backs, you know, that's paramount for me. It's all right playing wing-backs like Valencia and Young, but they do not have the defensive savvy that somebody like Darmian has. And I've been really, really impressed with him. I think he's a fabulous signing, and, you know, he's going to be with us for a good few years.
Is he the best Manchester United signing? Because you got Schweinsteiger, Schneiderlin. I guess for the moment he is after one game.
It's hard to say. These players have got to bed in. I was impressed with Schneiderlin on Saturday. I thought he did a good job. Schweinsteiger, for me, makes the game look easy. I mean, he came on for the last 20 minutes or so, and it was just simple balls. He was always there to receive it. He was always there to give it, and that's the thing with him. Of course, he's so experienced as well, and that will rub off on the other players. You know, I think he's a good signing, but not only as a potential first team man, as what he will bring to the youth setup, you know, and I think they will, you know, they will mirror him, and I'm really pleased with it.
All right, let me reset the table here. Who we have in studio? Tom Clare, noted author. We're giving away copies of his book, "The Men Who Were the Busby Babes." We've got DJ Sun. Any of you who knows the Houston music scene like I do, DJ Sun's been around forever. Producing great music, putting out great music, always innovative, always creative. Jan Christensen from Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture. We're going to give some love to the University of St. Thomas women's team. We've also had the men's coach in here, Aaron Champanoy, but we're going to give the love. He's the assistant coach on the St. Thomas University women's team. Give me the name of the head coach again, Nick.
Yeah, that's Nick Bajak-Tavrevich, I think that's how you say
it. I wanted you to have to say the name.
Yeah, Nick is a great coach. He's a Serbian who is now becoming an American citizen, actually. He's getting an American passport these days. And he's a great coach. He's done great. This is the second year of the program. Last year they made it to the playoffs, and this year they've gotten about a lot of new, very good players, so hopefully they'll make it even further this year. But a great, great program at University of St. Thomas.
And we always like supporting our local college programs here. Okay, so going to break here. It's the gift of giving right now. The Men Who Were the Busby Babes, caller number 3 gets a signed copy from Tom Clare. It's a great read. The Men Who Were the Busby Babes, Tom Clare, 3rd caller. And then the 5th caller is going to get a pair of tickets to the Dynamo Colorado Rapids, which we better take those 3 points. No doubt about that. We're coming down. We'll be right back.
ESPN. 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the Gau Studios in Houston, here's Glenn Davis.
August is here. That means Texas summer is in full swing. You know it. I know it. We're dying when we go outside here. It's been over 100 every single day. And who knows what the heat index says. You've probably tried the energy-saving tip about raising the temperature on your thermostat when you leave the house, only to arrive in the evening and have to sit in a hot home. Well, Amigo Energy has a solution for that with our featured program of the month, Nights Free. Sign up for Nights Free and you won't be charged for energy between 9 p.m. and 7 a.m. That's right. Turn your AC way down low after 9 p.m. and you'll enjoy a nice, cool summer night. For details and to sign up, go to www.amigoenergy.com/soccermatters. www.amigoenergy.com/soccermatters. Look up Nights Free. It's a cool way to enjoy the Texas summer nights. It's a good time to look it up, too. Again, that's at www.amigoenergy.com/soccermatters. Look up Nights Free. And by the way, again, I'm getting a ton of stuff on social media about tickets for Argentina and Bolivia. See, it doesn't even matter. We're talking Argentina, but Bolivia's coming in here, too, with all due respect to them. So if you want me to make something up about tickets, I can. But then I would be a liar. So I'm not going to make anything up because, as of right now, this is what I know about tickets for Argentina at BBVA Compass Stadium. All I know is this. What I know is Saturday, supposedly, tickets will go on sale. That's the last thing I heard. They start at 45. Rest assured, they'll go up from 45. But there are $45 tickets for that. In studio, DJ Sun, Jan Christensen, Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture, and, of course, Tom Clare, who's a noted author, historian on Manchester United. All right. We're going to bring up Roy Keane right now. Wow. Your pal, Tom. Roy Keane.
Yep.
Roy says, Manchester United lacks spine. They're a throwback to the 80s. They've gone away from what they were about.
Well... Typical Roy. I mean, Roy would know that. I mean, he had such an illustrious career as a manager. Great player. Great player. But you know, his career as a manager, it's easy to criticise. You know, he played in a great team with great players around him. In fact, he played in two great teams. He's got to give it time. It's like I keep saying, it's time and patience. Things don't just gel overnight. It's easy to criticise players, you know, that are playing today. But for me, he's wrong to do that. He's wrong to do that, you know.
Because?
Because he could never stand criticism himself when he was playing.
That's a fair point.
Yeah.
That's maybe why he didn't make it well as a manager.
Problems. There was problems with players both at Sunderland and at Ipswich, you know, and he just did not make a good fist of the job, and that's why he's not managing today.
Why did he struggle as a manager? He couldn't manage players.
Exactly.
Is that what it was?
Exactly.
Was it tactical acumen? What was it?
It was a mixture of both, but mostly his handling of players wasn't good. You know, I mean, he ruled the Old Trafford dressing room, and sometimes he ruled it by fear. Players were feared of him.
Very few managers these days, guys, and I want you to start considering this because I'm going to throw this at you, Jan, and I'm going to throw this at you, Andre. The modern manager, if you're just strictly an iron fist, my way or the highway, you don't survive, do you?
No. You've got to be able to... Ferguson was absolutely brilliant at man management. You know, he had the way he managed Cantona, no other manager could have handled Cantona. You know, the way he handled different players, the way he handled Keane. I mean, there were some horrible things like that happened with Roy Keane off the field and how Ferguson managed him with that, you know. And it's how to bring out the best of what you've got. And the man management side is absolutely crucial to it.
Yeah, interpersonal skills are amazing. Yeah, and I'm gonna take you into that and say about man management and the iron fist type of coach. it doesn't really work anymore. It doesn't work.
Roy Keane is a man filled with anger, and he cannot control that anger, and that's just the sad part about it. But you know, the manager today is like a modern business leader. You know, he also got to manage upper management besides managing the players. Look at Tottenham. Pochettino, he's the 11th manager since Arsene Wenger. He took over for Arsenal. And so the upper management sometimes, if you can't manage them, they just fire you. And so there's...
Or learn how to coexist.
Or learn how to coexist might be the better word. Yeah, you know. So I agree, Glenn. It's about managing both ways, but managing players. And you can see Pochettino, the connection he has with the players, where he brings them to the side and talks to them a little bit. And it's all about that. That's what they have so much help today as well. They have the psychologists, they have doctors, they have all kind of help today, except Mourinho might not have any. But they have so much help that they can focus on a lot of things that the old managers couldn't focus on because, you know, they didn't have help.
Really quickly, Andre, I like managers who are willing to try to coach the guys that they say are uncoachable because the reward can be huge based on the risk.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. In this generation of players, I think when you look at the Louis van Gaal example, he'll get people that he can coach only. And that's why a lot of people in his system, that's why Stoichkov said today to Pedro, don't go to Man U. He's destroyed a couple of teams. Well, of course, that's generalizing and that's too simple. Louis van Gaal really, he's known for bringing up the kids at Ajax in 1995. And how he duplicates that and gets success really depends on who can go with him. And when they don't, usually the older players that don't go with him are expendable. And that's what you're going to see.
Okay, guys, we got to wrap it up tonight. My thanks to Tom Clare, noted author. Thank you very much, Tom, as always, for coming in. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure, Glenn.
Yeah, and by the way, quickly mention your new book.
The new book, it's called The Nostalgic Ramblings of an Old Red, and it's a compilation of 10 years of articles that I've written for various magazines in the UK, and it's available on Kindle.
There you go. Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture, Assistant Coach, University of St. Thomas Women, Jan Christensen. Jan, thank you as always.
It was wonderful to be here. Thanks, Glenn.
Thank you, Jan. And DJ Sun, you can catch him Fridays at the Flat. I need to get over there one night.
Absolutely.
Saturday on the 22nd, Recluse at the Flat. Saturday, October 3rd, Sun's Resolution at Asian Society Center. That's Andre's journey following his ancestral search back to China. Gentlemen, excellent for coming in. I really thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock. Facebook, Soccer Matters. Producer, Michael Carroll. Outstanding as always. Top man. You make the Premier League starting 11. We appreciate all your work, Michael. Tomorrow night, Dynamo All Access on Yahoo Sports Radio, 1560 AM. Get over there. Interviews with Owen Coyle, Raul Rodriguez, and many more. Good night.
ESPN 97.5.